Well, good morning to us there and friends visiting. Bonjour encore une fois à Arnaud, voilà. Il cherche à comprendre un peu ce que nous disons maintenant, mais c'est un peu très difficile pour toi et aussi pour moi expliquer tout ce qui se passe pendant cette réunion, le culte à qui nous nous mettons maintenant. Mais d'accord, voilà. Sois bienvenue ici parmi nous à l'église ici à Christ Baptist. Now, this morning, what was I talking about last week? Stanley.
The new series that we're doing.
It is that. And what was the new series, Catherine?
We're looking at people who try to turn us away from Jesus.
That is it. People who try to turn us away from the Lord Jesus and from the Bible and from the Christian faith. Mr. Flint asked me for a title for this, and I think Children's Survival Pack I came up with there. Our Survival Pack in this day of great darkness. Great darkness this day is in which we are seeking to serve God. You young people are growing up surrounded by, and we thought a little bit about this last week, surrounded by so much opposition. So we need to think, we need to rely on God. We need to think about the people that we're dealing with and who are trying to dissuade us. Now, one of the things that these people say is this. Now, you young people here, they would say this. Oh, you poor things, you poor things. You are being brainwashed. You are. You're being brainwashed. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, Timothy?
Well, that's one more. Thoughts and beliefs and just made to believe one thing. You will believe this, you must believe this, this is true, this is true.
That's right. And the idea is, of course, that you're being told, this is true, this is true, this is true. And outside there, there's mountains of evidence that it isn't true at all. And that you're just being told, look, here's the real world, squeeze, squeeze, you're going to have to fit in with this and forget all the rest of it there, which disagrees with everything we believe here. Do not think about it. And so they say, you're being brainwashed here. And they would say, some of these people, but as for us, we are free thinkers. Now, what's a free thinker? Stanley.
You can think what you like, and you don't have to believe and think it's like free will.
That's it. This sort of idea that we're not stuck with old ideas for which there's no evidence. We are free from that. We can think, you know, realistically and without having to be stuck to believing this or believing that. We'll believe what we like. We will believe whatever the evidence says, that's what you should believe in, then we'll believe in that. And if we think there's no evidence for it, well, you won't find us hanging around with that. We are free thinkers. You poor things, me poor thing, and everybody here poor things, we are brainwashed. We just don't see the world properly. Here we are. We're not free thinkers. We're stuck somewhere, unable to make sense of the world we're in. And so they're offering, look, we'll make sense of the world for you because we can see a little bit more of it because we're free thinkers. We're free from the Bible. We're free from this old belief in God. We can just think straight and reasonably. So listen to us. Well, now, what do you make of that? What can we say to that? Any thoughts? Any thoughts? I heard this argument actually this week about being independent thinkers, free thinkers. Dawkins said it. But anyway, that's another story. Yeah.
Because your free thought might not be always wonderful.
Yes, we're getting towards what we need to be thinking about today. First thing this, how arrogant. How arrogant. How is it that certain people say, well, we are free thinkers? Oh, on what basis are you free and that we're not? How come that you have a reach to this extra and superior level? Why are you so sure that you are free and that we are not? And there'd be various things that they might say to that, and we'll look at some of those in weeks ahead. But you could always ask them that. And, you know, very often people get a bit cross when they're challenged. You really find that they get a bit cross and they argue back and they get a bit cross with you for challenging them. And I think that's a little bit of a giveaway. I think it suggests that they have got an intellectual pride. They've got an arrogance there. And if you challenge them on that, they don't like it. Anyway, come back to that another week. Because it's not true either. And there are two ways we could say that's not true. That Christians are sort of locked into a world and they just don't think about a world out there and they're not going to make sense of it because they're just chained to this Bible and everything here. Through history and to this very day, Christians, or shall we say people who have a belief in God and a respect for the Bible, have often been at the forefront of scientific discovery and have thought through and understood the laws that govern this world before other people. Very often, Christians and people with a respect for the Bible and a belief in a creator have been at the forefront of science and discovery and understanding the world that we're in. In other words, their minds have gone out from the existing kind of understanding and they've seen new things, laws that govern the universe and govern the world and gravity and these things. There's a clue. Who am I thinking of there?
Isaac Newton.
Great respect for the Bible and his understanding of the world. Well, it's been updated since, but really for that time it was revolutionary. He thought of new ways of understanding how this world worked, and as far as he was concerned, it all pointed back to the Creator. Anybody else who has been right out there when it's come to discoveries? Timothy again?
Michael Faraday.
Any idea what he... He did.
Wasn't he into light bulbs and electronic kind of stuff?
He was into that electricity and how that functioned and what you could do with it and its properties. He was thinking about those things there. And there are other people as well, and we've thought about them from time to time. Christians who thought about the world, saw new things, new patterns, put things together, and they were guided in their thinking because they believed there was a God of order, a God who created this world, who had given laws that work in the world, and you can see them, and you can discover them, and look at them, and use them. So it's just not true that Christians kind of are locked into a belief, you know, flat earth, the earth is flat, just going round, you know. We don't think. These people were thinking about the world in revolutionary ways, and their discoveries are still a benefit to us today. It's tragic that some who are Christians have to publish their work on creation under a pseudonym. What's a pseudonym? Timothy.
False name.
A false name. Because if they published under their real name, what would happen to them? Stanley.
They'd get executed or...
slightly down from that, but in the same sort of vein, same family of sin, or...
Their reputation would disappear overnight.
Their reputation would disappear and they would get probably what?
Laughed at, mocked, like treated like a lunatic.
That sort of thing. And probably fired. And remember we saw that DVD expelled and those people got thrown out of their jobs because they dared to actually say, perhaps there is a creator. And so they have to publish a lot of their work. I know somebody, I don't know him personally, but I know he does publish under a different name when he publishes on creation, because if he got found out in his office, he'd be thrown out of his job. So actually, Christians are still thinking big thoughts about the world and understanding the world and moving things on. So we say, no. Christians and people who respect the Bible have often been right there when it's come to discovering things. They've got an inquiring mind. The Christian faith doesn't make your mind shrink, it actually makes it grow. But the second thing is this. You say, yes, but that's also not true, that you are the free thinkers. Because if you will, what we do here is, we say we've got the final authority for understanding the world. They won't like this, but we say that. What's our final authority? What do we rely on to say, oh, actually, this is the best description of reality? Timothy.
Bible.
The Bible. And we actually say, do you know, the Bible describes you. And it tells us about you. And it tells us that you'll think that you are free thinking people. But the Bible tells us, except that you're not. They may not be impressed with this, but it's actually the fact. And as they go, oh, we're free thinkers, take a step back and say, I'm sorry, you're not. What actually is holding these people? We thought about this last week. What actually is there, Catherine?
Sin.
Sin. Is that what you're going to say, Molly? Sin. Sin. Sin, the Bible tells us, makes us slaves. That's interesting, isn't it? It makes us slaves. Tell me something about slaves. Molly.
Well, slaves like work for people. They're not very clean or anything.
Yeah, indeed. Slaves, very often, it's a pretty difficult deal for them. They have to work for somebody. And, I mean, do they get... What, tell me a bit more, Catherine.
Slaves are owned by someone.
They're owned by someone?
Not treated very properly.
Not treated properly in most cases, or many cases?
They're forced to do something that they don't want to do.
They're forced to do something they don't want to do. And so, sin. And who else is the owner here? Who is the owner here, Charlotte?
The
devil. The devil. They're slaves to sin and the devil. And the Bible tells us this, that the sinful mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. Doesn't like him. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. They're never going to want to know the truth. They're never going to want to know God because they're slaves of sin. So when they're saying, we're free thinkers, well, nod politely and say, well, actually, the Bible tells me that you're a slave to sin and that you're always going to be wanting to shake your fist at God because you're a slave to it. What did the Lord Jesus say about the truth? What's the truth going to do to you? Do you know that? Have you had that memory verse?
Truth actually makes you a true believer and you'll be free from sin.
You'll be free. The truth makes you free. So you can thank them for their free thinking. And you can thank them for giving you something to think about. But you can say, actually, my Bible describes you to a T. And it tells me that you're going to say these things and that you're going to argue. And it tells me this, that you're actually yourself a slave to sin. You think you're free, but you're just thinking the same thoughts that people have thought all through the ages who've tried to fight against God. I was reading John Calvin, 1559. His words then about people of his day were the same as today. Oh, the same arguments they come up with, the same things they're shaking their fists at God about. And here we are today, and it's still the same. So you can see they're slaves to sin. They may not like to hear that. They may not be convinced by that. But you can take a step back from them and think, I know just where you're coming from. So don't panic. Survival pack. The Bible has got the answers that you need if you put your trust in that and believe that God's word is where you should hold on to. It will prove its worth when all these people have absolutely collapsed and disappeared. Right, we'll think a bit more about this in a couple of weeks' time, God willing. Let's sing our next hymn now, 225, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.